All right, folks, what's going on? What's going on? Welcome back to another episode of your favorite WMMA podcast, hashtag CB99 Talks. This is episode 113. All right, y'all, we are back with another one, back with another episode, another weekend over, and we are back in the mix now. A new year, first UFC card of the year. Also had one FC this past Friday. Of course, things didn't go the way they were supposed to, which we used to. You know, we were hoping for at least three good fights this weekend, but once again, we just had some hiccups in the game again. So, you know, we used to it, right? So I was a little disappointed. You know, overall turned out to be, you know, an interesting card. You know, it was the Strickland Evolve card, which was just a regular UFC fight night card, right? And we had one FC earlier and we had some boxing, you know, got a chance to check out over the weekend. But overall, you know, it was a little bit of a disappointment because we were supposed to have at least three good fights that I was going to call, but it didn't work out that way. So, yeah, man, let's get into it. A few things I want to talk about, of course, with one of the fights being a weight issue, you know, we're going to have to talk about it, man. We're going to have to talk about Sajar Eubank once again missing weight, right? You know, against Priscilla Cachoeira. You know, this fight was supposed to be at 125. We got to talk about it, man. What's really going on here, right? So we got to talk about that. Let's talk about the Fairtex Supergirl fight a little bit. You know, that turned out to be a banger, even though it canceled out. Two fights got canceled out, came together, put one together. Rocky Pennington and her victory over Ketlin Vieira. Got to talk about that fight a little bit because I know with this victory, it puts her in a position to get another title shot. And I want to talk about how I feel about that. Then we're going to go through the Invicta FC 51 card. I like to do these little reviews sometimes, you know, before the fight card, just to kind of put y'all on some game about Invicta FC. Because some people still ask me about Invicta FC, like, what is it? What type of organization is it? Is it any good? And, you know, I got to tell people it's a solid organization. It's a solid organization for WMMA fighters. And you'll see a lot of your favorite fighters, you know, in the UFC come from here. All right. So I'm going to go through each fight here, you know, just hit y'all with who's fighting, who to look out for. And then I want to talk about confidence. Confidence in WMMA. You know, sometimes I think fans, even fighters, they get confidence and delusion confused sometimes. You know, I think there's a little bit of confusion there between confidence and just straight up delusion here. You know, sometimes cockiness too. You know, we need confidence in this game, and you know, I think some of these younger fighters are bringing that back, and it's needed. You know what I mean? Like I said, I give you all some examples of what is confidence, what is delusion, but you know, we need that right now. You know, we really do that need that, especially at 135 and 125. All right. So yeah, man. Actually, let me go ahead and we'll start with the disappointment first. All right. So yeah, this weekend we were supposed to get Anissa Mexen versus Stan Fairtex. There was so much build up here, a lot of talk. You know, both of these fighters had a little bit of dislike. I think more so Mexen. You know, she wasn't really feeling Stan Fairtex. You know, she was kind of just going in saying she wasn't a real fighter. You know, she's just an entertainer. She's just a dancer, this and that. And, you know, she's the one building this thing up. And I'm like, yo, I got to see this fight. You know, so I'm like, yeah, we're going to call this thing. But unfortunately, she had to pull out due to some family issues. I already posted up about that. So, boom, that fight gets canceled, right? Then you got Supergirl versus Katarina, Barbie Girl, the rematch. Unfortunately, Barbie Girl, she misses the hydration test. Like, is it like an hour before? Hour after the weigh-in? Correct me if I'm wrong, whatever. But either way, you know, she didn't make the hydration test. So that fight got canceled as well. So what did they do? They just took your leftovers and put together a fight with Stan Fairtex and Supergirl, right? So yeah, let's start with this first. Yeah, this turned out to be a good fight. You know, sometimes when something doesn't go your way or the fighter's way, every now and then, you know, some light will come out of what doesn't come to fruition, right? And this one, this fight did turn out to be a banger. Stan Fairtex, Supergirl, they wanted to fight. As y'all know, the original fight for Barbie Girl and Supergirl, the rematch, was a Muay Thai fight. Metzen versus Fairtex was a mixed rules fight, meaning four round fight, 2 rounds of Muay Thai, 2 rounds of MMA. Okay. And you know, they're switched on and off. It goes Muay Thai, MMA, Muay Thai, MMA. Okay. So now that that's canceled, they just made just a straight up kickboxing match between these two. And I think that's what kind of threw Fairtex off in this fight. Expected more of a, you know, in the mode of more of a mixed rules fight, but it turns out to be a kickboxing match. And it just seemed like Supergirl seemed to be the one that was more fluid in this one, letting go, you know, putting the pressure on Fairtex. Fairtex had some good shots. I think she landed some very good timed right hands, mixing in her body kicks. I just thought Supergirl was doing a good job of backing Fairtex into the cage, landing combinations, actually put Fairtex down in the second round, you know, real quick flash knockdown. She was back up, some good exchanges. I think the more accurate shots were from Fairtex, but there was a lot of good work and a lot of good solid combinations from Supergirl. So I could have seen Supergirl winning this fight, but Fairtex won the fight. And yeah, it wasn't really anything to get crazy about. I think, you know, I know this is entertainment and I know what they're leading towards. They want to keep that Mexican fight in. They want to keep that fight in place. But Fairtex coming right back next month or March, kind of a dangerous thing, because she did take some damage in this fight. You know, she was taking some big shots. And, you know, Fairtex, you know, she's a warrior. People don't give her enough credit. Like, she comes to the, you know, octagon dancing, but she comes in there and fights. You know, she is a dog. So, you know, I got to give her credit. So if the fight was to take place in February, I think that would be a bad idea. Maybe they could stretch it out to March, give Fairtex some chance to recover and, you know, get prepared for, you know, which is something that's going to be much more of a brutal fight, right? So, yeah, overall, I thought it was a good substitution. You know, it kept me entertained. Of course, it can't match what was supposed to be, you know, the rematch between Supergirl and Barbie. And, of course, Mexican Fairtex, because that's what we all had our hearts set on, right? But Fairtex, she pulled it out. They gave her the decision win, split decision win. Let me know what y'all thought of the fight. Like I said, it turned out to be a good kickboxing match. It's crazy because, you know, 1FC, they tend to have some of these issues with weight and, you know, these hydration, you know, these hydration tests. They tend to have a problem with this. That they thought that was the issue with Mexen, but it turned out to be a family thing. So hopefully everything is good with Mexen, you know, because that was the news everywhere. But it came back straight from Mexen on her IG that something was going on, big family issue. So hopefully that gets situated, man. It sucks it happened right there because, you know, she, like I said, she was the one talking mess and was building this thing up, and it just makes it look crazy now. Like, you know, it makes it not a good look, right? But definitely not saying she was ducking or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, sometimes when you talk a lot of trash sometimes and then something happens, you know, it can kind of put a damper on your reputation, you know, moving forward, right? But yeah, turned out to be a good fight. You know, shout out to everybody that, you know, stuck it out with the fight companion, even though it wasn't the fight we were looking forward to. But backtracking here, the other disappointment I wanted to talk about was Sajara Eubank here real quick. This was a fight I was looking forward to. You know, it was the first WMMA fight of the year. It was kicking off the prelims of Strickland Mavov. And, you know, I was expecting a bit of a banger here. Now, when I first talked about this fight on one page, it was set up to be a 135. That's what they had it, you know, that's what they had it printed as, that it was a bantamweight fight. So I thought we were going to have no issue, which they probably should have stuck it out and just made it a bantamweight fight, right? But when I looked at a more current card, I told y'all it was going to be a flyweight fight. And I was like, uh-oh. I was already thinking to myself, like, uh-oh, you know, this might not sit well here. You know, Sarge, she's got a bad rep when it comes to making weight. And, you know, this ain't just something that just came around. I mean, this has been happening since the Tough House, five, six years now? And lo and behold, Sarge, once again, It's just a straight up no show because of weight management issues, right? So the fight just gets canceled altogether. And when they say weight management issues, it just seems like there was no way of making even a catch weight, because y'all know last time around when Lipsky missed weight against Catchware was cool with doing 135, right? They did 135, right? 130, I think it was 135, yeah. Lipsky and Catchware, they went straight at bantamweight, right? But something tells me Eubanks, you know, she might have been hurting from trying to get down to at least like 130 or something, or she wasn't even nowhere near 135, right? So that's the story I'm assuming, because, you know, she was just a straight up no-show and it just said weight management issue. So my thing is, I think she was nowhere near bantamweight, so they couldn't even do a bantamweight fight, because I think that would have been satisfactory to everybody. It would have been it would have been a good equal fight all the way around, because Catchware's power carries up Sarge, even though she can't handle the bigger bantamweights. I think she would have came in and put a stronger fight if they would have just settled on a bantamweight fight, right? But yeah, man, Sarge once again misses weight, and I don't know if this is going to continue to be tolerated at this point. You know, it's been many a time now she's missed weight, and you know, at 7-7, they don't really stand to gain a lot by keeping her around, especially if, you know, she continues to sign on and say, okay, I'm going to come through for this 125 fight. And again, she can't make it, right? So they're looking at record. They're going to start looking at records here. They're going to look at your track record, period. Then they're going to look at what you're bringing to the table, like your following. Is it really worth keeping this fighter around? I mean, they've already let fighters go with higher rankings, you know, and fighters that really bring more to the table, right? They've already kept fighters around. I mean, they got rid of fighters that we'd want to see stick around. So, you know, with Sajara Eubank, they could just straight up let her go, right? And at this point, they might have to. Unfortunately, they're going to have to, because she just can't cut it, right? Literally, like, she can't cut it when it comes to weight. Because what's it going to be like whenever you set your opponent up? You got to imagine how these fighters feel sometimes, like the ones that do make weight, like Sarah McMahon, you know, her leading into her fight with Aspen Ladd. It sucks for her because that was going to be her last fight. And we couldn't even get to see that. Like, the Sarah McMahon fans wanted to probably see her go out one more time with, you know, at least one more victory. But Aspen Ladd couldn't make weight. Sarah McMahon could. Everything was done right. But she, you know, she couldn't get that release. Yeah, they paid her. They paid her the victory money. They paid her everything. And they gave her something a little bit extra, I believe, Sarah McMahon. But I believe that, you know, when you train that hard, you still want to go in there and you still want to let the results show, right? So imagine how Catchaware feels. You know, she was getting in some new training regimen. She was working with Kobe Covington now, trying to work on her ground game a bit and her wrestling. So she probably wanted to go in there and test herself, right? And Sarge was going to be a good test for her. You know, I was actually picking Sajara Eubank in this fight. But, you know, once again, she misses weight. So I think at this point, the best thing to do is, I would like to say give her one more chance, but man, you know, they might have to let her go, because this is one too many times. And, you know, I hate to see fighters like this that make weight have to deal with this thing. So yeah, 7-7, I think Sajara Eubank might just have to go, right? If they give her one more chance, hey, if she does, it's going to have to be 135. Or make some kind of catch weight, you know, situation for 130. I don't know, you know. But she's not even ranked at this point, because she can't, you know, hold down a ranking at 125. You know, can't make weight. Didn't have a good record at 135. You know, got a couple of wins there. But when it came down to the bigger fighters, she just didn't fit in. Like, Sarge is just kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, you know. Too big for flyweight, too small frame for 135, right? So it's really going to be on the UFC at this point to see what they want to do, right? All right. So moving on. Okay, so shout out to Raquel Pennington, Ketlin Vieira. Shout out to everybody that stuck out for this fight companion as well. Rocky Pennington, I had to stick with this pick this time around, because Rocky Pennington at number 5, I still believe that she's a growing fighter, you know. Had a very, very rough loss to the champion, pair of losses to Holly Holm, But when it comes down to it, there's just certain styles that just don't match well with her, but she stays in the game. You know, there's a lot of things going for Rocky going into this fight that MMA math just couldn't deny this time around. Because I was like, come on now. Rocky has more dimensions to her, and she does let go more, and she never stops trying in the fight. You know, she's got a better boxing IQ than Caitlin Vieira, more killer instinct, and better clinch control. And she's much more active. Now, Caitlin Vieira, you know, I think she's got the better grappling, but better grappling, heavy hands, longer, taller, a bit bigger. Actually, you know, Rocky kind of looked bigger even at the weigh-in, though. You know, she definitely looked like the bigger fighter here. But Caitlin Vieira, you know, when she high, you know, when she puts that weight back on, she's definitely looking a lot bigger than Rocky to me. But I thought it was going to be a little bit more competitive. I know some people thought it was going by the split decision, but I personally thought Rocky won all three rounds. To me, I thought she did enough to win all rounds. I thought she was just much more active and landed better shots. You can't really go by those significant strike numbers. But Rocky, man, she does it. First round, you know, she was fighting off the back foot, off a good jab, you know, playing the jab to the body, to the head. Caitlin was landing some good 1-2s, backing up Rocky. And, you know, Rocky was just sticking it out, you know, sticking that jab in the face, you know, towards the end of the round. You know, I could see Caitlin trying to press forward a little bit more, trying to put that clinch on Rocky, but that's Rocky's game. You know, Rocky knows how to turn it up in that clinch, and she knows how to get those underhooks and just put control on you. You know, through the second and third round, I just thought Raquel Pennington was landing the better shots. I mean, there was some good exchanges in the middle. They both drew blood on each other. You know, Caitlin Berry was popping off the good, solid 1-2s, but Rocky kept coming back with her game, you know, staying in the pocket, you know, touching to the body, coming back upstairs with the right hand to the head. You know, she was starting to snap the head back with that right hand in the second and third round when she started to find her rhythm. And let's not forget the clinch. You know, the clinch was effective. Caitlin, though that she was a bigger fighter, was not really able to use her size and her strength here. You know, I think it all came down to position here. You know, Raquel knew how to kind of stay at a nice angle where she could land knees to the body. You know, knees to the body were big, big keys to victory for Rocky here. You know, second, third round, she was really ripping into the body, heavy knees, and I think they were really taking a lot of the win out of Caitlin Vieira. You could kind of see at one point she was leaning on Rocky, and she was starting to gas out a little bit. I know y'all thought Rocky was gassing in the first round, but no, she started to pick her pace up and started doing some effective work on the inside, you know? So yeah, Caitlin Vieira, through that last stretch, man, in that third round, she just couldn't hang in there anymore. I just think that she wasn't – and this wasn't new, you know. This ain't new with Caitlin Vieira. You know, she was not letting go enough. Like, the third round was decided when it came down to it. Everybody pretty much had it 1-1. Like I said, I had it a sweep for Rocky, but everybody had it 1-1. And it was on Caitlin Vieira to do something big in that last round, get a takedown or two, just lay and pray on Rocky Pennington. But she didn't even do that. Like, it was either that or try to close the show. She had the power, and she had the reach, because her reach was working. You know, her reach was working like the first round. You know, she was pumping out her 1-2 on Rocky, and every time Rocky would step in, she would catch her. But Rocky eventually made an adjustment, started getting on the inside and landed more. And in the clinch, it was all Rocky too. So Caitlin Vieira at number two, to me, just was still questionable. You know, that's why I went with Rocky in this fight, because I think that Rocky still, even though she doesn't show it in the ranking, she's still getting better as a fighter. And I think her and, you know, before our serving man was cut, I thought both of them fighters were developing nicely, and they still were kind of putting themselves in a position where they could beat a lot of the up and comers or even just some of these other girls at the top, you know? So yeah, Rocky just showed some different dimensions, and what she did earned her fifth win in a row and a possible title shot. And she called for it. You know, she called for it, and, you know, we can't get mad at that, right? I know some of these other fights might look better as far as entertainment value because, okay, Juliana Pena is the number one contender. I mean, she split her and her, her and Nunes are split 1-1, and she's the one that has a win over Nunes, right? So people could argue that they want that rematch. Irene Aldana is a different look. Irene Aldana has actually knocked out Caitlin Vieira and has beaten Yanaka Sky by a knockout as well. So people are looking at that. She's also stopped Macy Chase on. You know, she's got some impressive stoppages, right? So that's a different look for Amanda Nunes, right? So I can understand that. But you got to look at the one fighter that is doing the two things that we always want. And that's why I'm keeping that same energy, all right? Raquel Pennington is on a 5-fight win streak. Also stopped Macy Chase on, right? And she's beaten Aspen Ladd. Now she's beat Caitlin Vieira. And I think she beat, like, Mari Renault and one other fighter I can't even name. I know she's beaten Irene Aldana as well, but that was before the Nunes fight. It's one other name. One other name I can't think of right now. I'm not looking at the resume. But, yeah, she's five and oh in her last five fights. And the number two thing she's doing is she's calling for it. She said, I'm ready for that next title shot. You know, I'm ready for that title shot again. You know, I fought my way back up. You know, I've got five wins in a row. So why not? Let me get the shot. Whether we think she wins or not, she done the two things to pass the test, right? So I'm keeping that same energy for her, you know, because we got fighters in other divisions right now that are on like 4-0 win streaks, and they put themselves in title shot position, but they're not asking for it the same way. That's what I said, like the energy of 135 is a little different right now. You know, it may not be the best in the young, hungry fighters that we want to see right now, but these fighters are still trying to fight Amanda Nunes. You know what I mean? They're still trying to fight. They still want to go in there and prove themselves, whether they've done it before or not. So I gotta commend her and even Julianna Pena. You know, they want to do it again. They want to do it again. So Rocky, to me, she gets it. You know, if Aldana gets it, I won't be mad, because that'll make a good fight. It's a different look. But if Rocky does get that title shot position, it's fine. It's fine to me. As for Caitlin Vieira, man, she's just showing a lot of the same things in the last few fights. You know, it's that killer instinct about her, man. Like, she seems a little apologetic when she's fighting some of these fighters. Like, even the fight with Misha Tate, she won, but she just kind of held back and, like, wouldn't go in for the kill. Like, you got to go in there and get it. Like, the way Amanda Nunes handed Raquel Pennington that one loss, Caitlin Vieira has got to start doing things like that. Like, in a way, I'm kind of like, this was probably a blessing in disguise. Like, you lucky you fought Raquel Pennington and lost this fight, because let's say she did get the edge. Let's say they did give it to Caitlin Vieira this fight here by split decision. Say the results were the exact same, you know, as far as the fight played out the same way, but the split decision went to Caitlin Vieira this time around. I would actually be scared for her if she's fighting Amanda Nunes. Y'all seen Amanda Nunes lately in her training? Shoot, if they gave her the split decision, I would be a little bit more so scared for Caitlin Vieira this time, more so than I would Raquel Pennington this time around. At least Raquel knows what to deal with, and Raquel has gotten better, I believe, as a fighter, you know. But Caitlin, she's just really big, and she strikes, but she just doesn't have that grit in there, man. She lets some of these girls bully her, you know. So I don't think that she's going to get that title shot anytime soon if she doesn't go in there and start using that size the way she needs to. Like I said, either just lay and pray, you know, take rounds with your IQ, or start letting him hands go and start monstering through these girls, you know. Because even Holly Holm fight, she didn't fully go after Holly in that one, you know. And she's got that size, like she could be another Chris Cyborg, you know what I mean, for the bantamweight division. That's why I'm like, you know, put them punches together, you know, start using it, man. Like, you got to fight like a big girl. Like, Emmanuel Stewart in boxing, y'all, he said, look, these big guys need to start fighting like big guys. He knew how to train them to fight like big men, like Lennox Lewis and Vladimir Klitschko. He made them guys fight like big men because they weren't capitalizing on it. So I think when it comes to her training, real talk, you know, corner talk, I think Caitlin Vieira needs somebody that's going to teach her to fight like a big, big woman, you know, somebody that knows how to start using that size to their advantage in every form of fashion, boring or exciting, whatever, brutal or dominant, however it plays out, you know. But I don't think she'll be getting another title shot anytime soon. I don't think she'll be getting a title shot soon or going on a killer win streak anytime soon. So yeah, that's what it is. I think Rocky's the one right now. What do y'all think? That's how I see it, though. I just see that Raquel Pennington just still has something that could give Amanda Nunes some problems, possibly more so than Kelly. All right. So yeah, let me know what y'all think, though. Okay, so this Wednesday coming up, guys, we have Invicta FC 51. So let's go ahead and do the little preview here. Invicta FC 51 is this Wednesday, the 18th, and they got it listed at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time here. And as y'all know, it's on the YouTube channel for Invicta FC. It's also on Access TV. For y'all that don't have that app, most of us don't, right? Just go to YouTube. So you can just pretty much catch it. You don't have to worry about, you can just catch it for free. You know, that's how y'all like to do, you know, is streaming for free. So, okay, the poster, Tapology says 8:30 p.m., but Tapology is off here because the fight poster for Invicta FC 51 says 9 p.m. So it's this Wednesday, 9 p.m. So yeah, tune in, guys. Also tune in to me because I'll be on doing a fight companion for it. So like always, pull up your tabs, pull up my channel, and pull up Invicta FC on both on YouTube, right? Pull them up next to each other and we can watch the fights together, right? We're going to watch all eight fights here. You know, it's going to be a long one, right? It's going to be a long one. So we're going to be going on till midnight probably. So yeah, we're going to be on at 9 p.m. I'll be on 9 p.m. for this card. Yeah. So let's see, y'all. Let's start with the first fight here. I'm going to just kind of run through them here. Just give y'all some names and weights that they're fighting at. And that's how we'll do it. All right. So first up, let's see what we got here. Let's flip through scripts here. Okay, so this fight was just added. This is the debut fight for Invicta, debut fight for both Tanya Najjar and Sayuri Cannon. And this is a strawweight fight. All right, this is a strawweight fight. And they were just both recently signed. Tanya is 1-0. Sayuri is 2-0. Both undefeated, as you can see. And they just recently posted this up. I know that Tanya, I think I seen her in Combate. I think I seen her fight once in that her first fight in Combate. She got a finish win, I believe. I think it was like back in the summertime. All right. So, you know, she's trying to make a name for herself. You know, she's coming in as a solid grappler. And then you have Sayuri Cannon here. Not really familiar with her. You know, she's only 2-0. So she's on the come up as well. Mostly fought for some lower organizations. So we'll see how this one turns out. That is a strawweight fight that was just added. That'll be the first fight on the card. This fight here, the second fight, also a strawweight. Y'all know this is one I'm looking forward to. Right next to this one is Fatima Klein and Laura Gallardo. Y'all know both of these fighters. I've been talking about Fatima Klein over here at 2-0. This black belt jiu-jitsu practitioner here is going to be a problem, I believe, for the strawweight division. You know, this young girl right here is a solid grappler. Jiu-jitsu is on point at such a young age. Also developing her striking. Her striking is looking good. You know, she's coming in with energy. You know, she's bringing that finishing rate at 2-0. Let's see. Her last fight was her last fight I actually called. Yeah, I called that fight. It was against Sydney Trio, who she finished in the third round, you know, on the ground, on the feet. You know, she was really taking it to her. And, you know, like I said, she's also done a lot of the Medusa grapplings tournaments. You know, so, you know, she's very solid. This girl's solid on the ground. Sydney Trio, though, she's a scrappy one. You know, she rocks with Juliana Pena. She's 4-1. Strawweight is where she needs to be because, you know, she came into the Tough House as a replacement for Chantel Colts. Chantel Colts back in the Tough House when she couldn't make weight. They brought in Sydney Trio, right? Sydney Trio came in, definitely made a name for herself at the flyweight tournament, but came up short. And as I saw her, I was like, okay, this girl's scrappy. You know, she has a good overhand left. You know, she's a solid stand-up fighter, but she also has some grappling skills and some wrestling skills, right? Maybe if she moves down to a weight that suits her, she'll be better off. So this is a step up in competition for Fatima Klein. Fatima Klein, you know, hasn't dealt with this type of striker and this type of wrestler yet. You know, I think Lori Gallardo, she's definitely got an element to her that's going to test Fatima Klein. Still lean a little bit more towards Fatima Klein because I think she is kind of a big straw weight. And, you know, she does have power at the end of those shots. And when she gets to the ground, her jiu-jitsu is solid. But I'm definitely not counting out Gallardo in this one. You know, she's got the experience. She's fought fighters like Brogan Walker, Catherine Pivracki, Helen Peralta. She beat Helen Peralta. You know, that's wild. She's fought in Combate. So, yeah, this ain't going to be an easy fight for Fatima Klein. I'm leaning towards Fatima Klein definitely in this one because I think she's got it. You know, she's got those attributes to win. But don't be surprised if Gallardo pulls this thing out. It's going to be a good fight. Definitely going to be a good strawweight fight. And I think that whoever wins this fight is going to move on to probably win the strawweight title for Invicta at some point. Maybe not in their next fight, but at some point. Because Gallardo is now fighting at a weight that's going to suit her. All right? So moving on. We got two atom weight fights. We got two atom weight fights on this card. We got Katie Saul versus Rayanne Amanda. Katie Saul, you know, she's been around for a minute. She's a striker, you know, kind of a long, lengthy striker, you know, very thin. Also a young fighter I was following when she was a little bit younger in the game. You know, she's been coming up short in some fights. She's just gone on a win streak as of lately. You know, she's still been trying to add that grappling element to her game. Fought for Invicta a couple of times, fought for Combate in her last fight over the summer as well. You know, so Combate's been bringing a lot of these girls that you see in Invicta over. So if you go back and forth, Combate and Invicta, you know, you'll get a good mix and you'll get familiar with some of these chicks. But I think that, you know, she's a slick fighter on the feet. When she really starts to, you know, let her hands go and commit, she's kind of got that Conor McGregor swag about her. She's that type of chick with that swag, you know. She likes to mix it up on the feet, you know, but she's starting to add that ground element here. Rayanne Amanda, I know some of y'all remember her. She fought Denise Gomes on the Contender Series. Good, tough fight. You know, I just don't think that she was sitting down enough on her shots to really get the respect in that one, though. But she showed how tough she could be. So, you know, Rayanne, she could be that one that goes in there and pulls something off. You know, she could. So, and she's strong. You know, she's strong. She's actually going to be moving down her way here at 105. So we'll see how this one turns out. Then you got Messer, the Spider Monkey, Valencia. You know, she's a black belt as well. You know, she's a black belt. She has some decent boxing. She's a bit of a brawler. She was in the atomweight tournament. Came up short against Jessica Bedell Boney. She's going to be taking on Alessandra Fiora. Both of these fighters tough. I'm expecting a scrap here. I saw this young lady fight in, I believe it was PAWFC, Fiora. She's a, you know, young Brazilian. I believe it was Pallas Athena she fought in. She came up short in that fight, I think. But she's a tough, scrappy fighter. And, you know, she's also bringing that element, you know, that boxing. And she really likes to go in there and just really put that work in. You know, she really puts that work in. So I got to tune into this fight here. So, you know, we got a couple of good atomweight fights. And with this many atomweights on this card, you got to start to think that the UFC is keeping their eyes out here. You know, they're keeping their eyes out because they might start looking at some of these fighters to sign when they make a atomweight division, if they make an atomweight division, right? All right. Moving on. Got a couple of bantamweight fights. From here, we're moving up in weight. Got a couple of bantamweight fights here. Gotta look forward to this. Definitely looking forward to this. Gotta watch this one, y'all. Claire Guthrie versus Autumn Norton. Shout out to both of these ladies here. Claire Guthrie, another tough veteran. Same house with Lori Gallardo. Shout out to Autumn Norton. This girl wild right here, man. She's scrappy. She tough. You know, I hit her up on Instagram every now and then. I follow her. She follows me. And, you know, I just be letting her know, yo, keep it moving. Keep it moving because, you know, I think Autumn Norton is bringing some, you know, some of that swag to the bantamweight division here. You know, she's got the slickness, the head movement. I think her striking is looking pretty solid. She's also got that showman about her. You know, she comes in there and showboats a little bit. So she wants to be an entertainer, but she's still working on her skills as well. You know, and we need that type of mix. You know, we need that type of mix to eventually get to the bantamweight division in the UFC. So definitely looking for fighters like this, Claire Guthrie as well. If she can make a name for herself here, she could come back to the UFC as a bantamweight. You know, she's looking stronger. You know, she's looking like a veteran in there. Her last fight against Hope Chase's sister, can't remember her first name. Hope Chase's sister, you know, gave her a pretty tough fight, but she showed how tough she was in that one. You know, came out the victor in that fight. So I think that's going to be a tough one here for Autumn Norton. Autumn Norton, I think, has better head movement, a little bit more technical with her striking. But I think this one, if it gets to the clinch or the ground game, that's where it's going to get interesting. But definitely tune into this fight, y'all. We might be seeing a finish for this. All right. Still in the bantamweight division, we got Serena De Jesus versus Olga Rubin. Olga Rubin, y'all know she came up short in the Tanisha Tennant fight. You know, she's still kind of moving back, trying to get acclimated this weight as she, you know, moves back down to bantamweight. You know, she was in Bellator as a featherweight. Serena De Jesus, she's a big bantamweight. You know, she's a big pressure fighter. She'd be running through some of these girls, you know, like not finishing a lot of them, but she really imposes her size. Now, Serena De Jesus, that doesn't mean she's unbeatable now. You know, she's 5-2, but, you know, she really goes in there and pushes the pace. And that's the thing about her. That's why I'm saying, like, if she goes in here and pushes the pace on Olga Rubin, and Olga Rubin really wasn't, like, letting go enough like she was in the Tanisha Tennant fight, you know, Serena De Jesus could come in here and dominate. And this is a fight that Tanisha, you know, I would like to see her in, you know, like a full 3-round fight or a full 5-round fight, because Serena De Jesus and Tanisha Tennant fought before. Tanisha, you know, she picked her apart, beat her pretty easy. I think it was like, was it a 1-round fight or was it actually a 3-round fight? I can't even remember how long that fight was now, but it was part of the bantamweight tournament. But I'd like to see a full championship fight between these two if Serena De Jesus can go in here and dominate. Actually kind of looking to see her win because, yeah, Olga Rubin and Tanisha, they already fought before. And, yeah, right now, I believe Serena De Jesus is she's just on kind of a warpath. You know, she actually said, I wanted that title shot before. You know, she wanted that title shot. Let's see if she can fight her way to it, right? So if she goes in here, puts that pressure on, uses that durability, and just uses that pressure style of hers to the best of her ability, I could see her going in here and dominating Olga Rubin. So I'm actually picking Serena De Jesus in this one. But it's another one y'all need to tune into. All right, co-main event. Let's move on to the co-main event and main event. We got Christina Williams and Ketlyn Souza. Now, I called this one. I said Christina Williams, she's on like a 3 or 4 fight win streak, I believe. Like 3 fight win streak. I said, you know what? Eventually, she's going to be fighting for that flyweight belt. I could see her become flyweight champion. And boom, there she is. Christina Williams put together her little win streak. Got into the mix, started working on her skills, developing, looking like a much better fighter than she was in some of her Bellator outings. And she's just ready now. You know, she's just looking like that type of fighter that, you know, I think some people are kind of underrating now. And she's just really trying to be the well-rounded fighter that she believes she can. Her last 3 fights, the Flora Honey fight was close. That was a close one, but she still came out the victor in that. She beat Helen Lucero. In another Invicta fight, she beat Liana Perosa, who she finished in the first round. So that lets you know that she is working on not just her stand-up, but she's also working on her submission game as well. You know, going all the way back to Bellator, though, she did come up short against fighters like Keel Holtz and Velasquez. So that lets you know that she's definitely seen different looks and she's been learning. Because those are high-level fighters compared to some of the ones she fought. And she beat Bruna Ellen before, you know. So she's a career Bellator fighter. You know, that's where the majority of her career was at. So now she's just kind of taking a step down. So she's bringing a lot of experience here. Because for some of y'all that don't know, this is the girl that broke Heather Hardy's nose a long while back. You know, I believe it was almost like 5-6 years ago. But Heather Hardy, whenever she made that transition from boxing to MMA, got a rude awakening. It was like a baseball bat to the face, man. Like Christina Williams landed that big kick to the face, broke Heather Hardy's nose. I mean, blood everywhere. It was crazy, man. So yeah, Christina Williams, she's seen some different looks, and I think that this is going to be a tough fight for Souza, but Souza, she's also on a win streak. I think she's like on a 4 or 5 fight win streak herself, but she's fought at a lower level. You know, she's fought at a lower level. I think, you know, she's bringing a solid element here. You know, she's got a very rough and rugged style. You know, she has some good finishes on her resume. I was looking at some of her fights. You know, she's finished a lot of girls on the feet, you know, with some body shots and some strikes, you know, only like 3 losses in her career. So Ketlyn Souza is going to be a tough fighter here. So a fight like this, you know, Christina Williams is going to have to use her range, use her kickboxing, you know, kind of keep it on the outside, kind of pump that jab out, use those front kicks, and look for those openings for whenever Souza steps in, try to counter and try to finish this fight, you know, because it's going to be a tough one to kind of draw it out. You really don't want to keep a fighter like Souza alive for 5 rounds. I think Christina Williams needs to make a big statement to, you know, get this belt. So yeah, Christina Williams put herself in this position. I think she can get it. I'm going to rock with Williams in this fight. All right, going to the main event, Tanisha Tennant versus Talita Bernardo. This fight was announced right after Talita Bernardo's victory this past month or so ago, right, in her last fight against, let me pull up her resume here too, because Talita Bernardo just finished, let me see. Oh, Catherine, hold on. I don't want to, this was a former Tough House girl too that hadn't fought in like a long time, hadn't got a win in like over 5 or some years. Katarina Lehner, right? Yeah, she finished Katarina Lehner. All right, so this fight here, Tanisha Tennant, Talita Bernardo, to me is going to be, it's going to be striker versus grappler here. You know, Tanisha's a much, much better fighter on the feet, you know, an educated fighter. Some of y'all think she's a boring fighter, but that just shows you the technique that she's bringing. Some of y'all still don't see what I see. Oh, well, Talita Bernardo, her ground game is it. You know, her jiu-jitsu is the most dangerous factor to her. Her stand-up, her footwork still isn't the best. So this is a fight where I think Tanisha Tennant, you know, can keep this thing standing and has to keep it standing, because Talita Bernardo is just that dangerous when it gets to the ground. She is. Like, she can't take a punch. She can't take a right hand too well. You know, she has gotten dropped, I believe, in, you know, her last fight a couple times. And before that, well, she did get dropped a couple times in her last fight. Yes, she surely did. But the fight before that, you know, she was having a rough time on the feet. It's not until she gets on the ground that she starts to really thrive. That's how it plays out for Talita Bernardo. She is purely a grappler. She really is. So this is really like a lion versus type. This is a lion versus a crocodile type of fight. You know, Tanisha being a lion on the feet, you know, she can bring her out to the grounds, bring her out to the plains, and give her that type of fight. And, you know, she could rip her apart on the feet. She could pick her apart. If Talita Bernardo is able to get a leg or get a takedown, she pulls the lion into the water, and that's all she wrote, right? I see it that way. I know Tanisha's working on her takedown defense and her ground game as well, but I think Talita Bernardo is just on that level right now where she can just maneuver. You know, she's just that solid. But it's good that Tanisha's working with black belts like Aaron Blanchfield and so on in camp, because Aaron can show her things. Aaron can definitely show her things. You know, Aaron may be the younger fighter here, but she is the black belt in BJJ, and that's definitely a good look. That's why I said the camp that Tanisha Tennant's in, she's surrounded by a lot of good talent, a lot of good talent. You get a good mixture there. You got good grapplers like Blanchfield and Klein. You got some well-rounded fighters like Jillian DeCourcy. Then you got strikers like Caitlin Chikage and up in there. And Sarge, you know, behind the scenes, you know, you have a good wrestler in her and a good grappler. You know, you got a lot of good fighters in that camp, you know, that you can learn from. So I think they have a good chemistry there. I love that camp. I just do. I do, because it's like these are the girls. Like, some of them might not be champion, but you can really learn from that camp. You really can. And Tanisha, I think, can learn a lot from Aaron Blanchfield and vice versa. So really, Tanisha, keep this fight on the feet, you know, keep it standing. Use that footwork, use that striking ability to the head and to the body, and go for a finish. I think she really needs to go for a finish in this fight on the feet. Only if it comes, though. You know, don't go crazy. Don't try to over, you know, over pressure Talita Bernardo. Don't try to walk her down to the point where, you know, you can get taken down. You know, I think she just needs to pick Talita Bernardo apart, set her up for the right hand because it's there, and those are the and those right hands will be the weakness of Talita Bernardo. That is her weakness. Talita just needs to take this fight to the ground, plain and simple. Leg kicks will slow Tanisha down. Don't stand in front of Tanisha because she'll get, like I said, picked apart. Come in at angles, keep the fight pressed to the cage, use her strength to kind of wear down Tanisha down to the fifth round, you know, if it goes that far. But yeah, I think this is just a simple striker versus grappler match. But I think that Tanisha can pull this win out. She can pull this win out. I think she'll definitely win. I won't say definitely, but I believe Tanisha's going to win this fight. I pick her to win. But she's got to really, really, really look good in this fight. She's got to make a big statement. You know what I mean? Like, she's got to make a big statement if the UFC is something that she's looking at this point. Because, you know, Dana White, the matchmakers, the UFC, that's what they look at right now. That's what they're looking at. They're looking at fighters that go in there and entertain. Not saying Tanisha's not entertaining, because she is to me as a fan of martial arts, but to what the casual fans want at this point. Because like I said on my channel, I respect her as a fighter. But some of y'all in my chat, you know, y'all are giving me different looks at y'all. Like, some of y'all are fans, some of y'all are not impressed. And usually the ones that aren't impressed, they're the ones looking for knockout blows. Y'all are looking for, you know, crazy chokeouts. Y'all are looking for all of that. So I think that that is something that she's going to have to bring in this fight. She's going to have to shut those critics up and convince everybody, not just me, but convince everybody that she's ready for that next step into the UFC, which I think she is, though. I think she is, because all of these bantamweights right here, they could bring something to the table to me. Like, Tanisha, Claire Guthrie, Autumn Norton, at some point, Serena De Jesus, you know, at some point they can make their way to the UFC as long as they keep pushing and they keep polishing up their skills, right, and making statements. So yeah, that's the card. These are the 8 fights coming up, y'all. Like I said, tune in 9 p.m. my channel, Invicta FC's YouTube channel, and we're gonna watch these fights together. All right, that's what it is, guys. So make sure y'all do that. All right, so our last topic here. All right, let's talk about confidence here a little bit to wrap this show up. Let's talk about confidence. All right. So as of lately, we've been having a lot of these young fighters, these new signees to the UFC, and some of these ones that have been on some nice win streaks, just really starting to step out of the box as of lately, you know, in a time where we have an evolving sport like WMMA. The fighters aren't just dependent on the same dimensions anymore. You know, this game is kind of picking up now, starting to really pick up steam. Sport is starting to really pick up steam. You know, we started to have more fighters coming in and really wanting to prove themselves, right? And we have a lot of fighters that want to come in and fight. We have a lot of fighters that want to come in and be entertainers, and fighters that just want to say, hey, we're fighters and wear the UFC uniforms. But we do have a nice group of fighters that like to bring more than that. You know, they like to bring talent and they like to better themselves. And some of these fighters, when they really prove themselves, they start to speak with confidence. You know, they start to speak with that confidence and let you know that, hey, this is no problem. This is my mission. I can do this. Dana White, give me the fight. Yo, who's next? I want to fight. I'm waiting on fight news. You know what I mean? I can be champion. You know, sometimes that talk can get on people's nerves. Like, not me, but it gets on the casual fans' nerves because they're not understanding, like, the difference here. Some people are calling these fighters delusional, but about being champion or about beating certain fighters. But this is where I kind of draw the line here. It's like, I know the difference between confidence and delusion. And I post these fighters up right here because these are some of the fighters that are making waves in the UFC right now with confidence. You know, their confidence is really carrying them through a lot of their fights. And they speak with confidence, and you know that they mean business, right? It's not just delusion. I mean, we've heard delusional fighters in the past that just speak out of term saying, oh, I'm the cash cow. I deserve to be this. I deserve to be that. I'm the best. They haven't even done anything yet. Or they just say that I'm going to be the youngest champion, or I can beat Valentina, or something like that. You know what I mean? In the matter of just one or two fights. Or you know, you got fighters tweeting like Eileen Perez just saying, I'm the big show. I deserve to fight Amanda Nunes, right? You know that's just delusion because there's no skills there to back it up. But these four fighters right here I put on the screen, their skills in these fighters, and they're backing it up. They're backing it up on whatever level they're on, right? So when you hear a fighter like Aaron Blanchfield say, Tyler Santos, I don't see her as a dangerous fighter, you know, or just the fact that, oh, you know, this is the fight they gave me, and this is the fight I'm going to take. You know, I feel confident enough to beat her, right? She's a good fighter. You know, she's a good striker. She has good wrestling. She's a well-rounded fighter, but she doesn't really pose any danger to me. You know, she's not a dangerous opponent. Those are the words of a confident fighter. Those are the words of a fighter that believes in their skill. Those are the words of a fighter that has earned that right to say that because they know what they've been through in and out of the cage, right? They've been developing and improving, and they've lost before, and that, you know, they've came up short in the gym and in professional fights, that they know what someone else brings to the table, right? They're watching that fighter and they know what they bring to the table. So they say, okay, somebody like Tyler Santos, I seen what she did to JoJo, Jillian Robertson, Roxy. I seen her give Valentina a tough fight. Okay, well, I'm not the same fighter that Valentina is, but I know what I can do. So, yeah, that's not that dangerous of a fight, right? That just sounds like confidence. It's not delusion there. Now, if she said Tyler Santos was overrated, or Tyler Santos was not a good fighter, or Tyler Santos doesn't even deserve to be here, that sounds like a delusional person. Or like, oh, I'm going to knock Tyler Santos out easy. You know what I mean? No, that's delusion. But the way Aaron speaks in her interviews about moving forward, about any fighter, even the champion, you know, I have to kind of, well, I won't say backtrack because that was like almost a year ago now. But like, you know, Aaron, I didn't even like get on her before whenever, you know, she was talking about catching the Valentine. I mean, I want to see her put the work in, but I know where she's coming from now because she's got a goal. She knows she has to work her way up, but she has a goal, right? Even back then, you know, she wasn't speaking with too much delusion. It's always been just confidence. And you have to have confidence, right? You have to always believe in yourself that you can do this, that, you know, you're made for this and you can beat this person. And you have to have that attitude that, oh, this ain't that dangerous. Because if you go in there thinking that every fighter is dangerous, now you can think of the fight game as being dangerous. That's why you prepare. But you can't go in there thinking that every fighter is going to be like this danger to you when you still bring something to the table too, right? You have to walk that path with no fear, right? You walk it with a sound mind and you walk it with smarts, of course, right? Like you don't think that you're invincible, right? You prepare for the worst, right? Now, if she was going in there thinking she was invincible, that's delusion. But if she goes in there with the mind to say, I can do this because I'm prepared, then that's just confident. You know, that's confidence knowing that, hey, I got the skill sets to do this. Hey, this ain't nothing, right? Right? See, you know, that you're supposed to walk with that type of energy. Even fighters like Casey O'Neill knows that the only way she's going to get better is continue where she left off. Like, she doesn't want to take a step down. Like, in her recent interview, she said, I don't want to take a step down fight. You know, I want to fight Jennifer Maya. It's going to be about over a year when she returns to the cage. But she said, no, I want this fight because this fight is going to make me get up for it. This fight is going to help me grow as a fighter. You know, she wants to get back to where she was. And I respect that because she's still young anyway. Now, I picked Jennifer Maya to win this fight, but who knows? She can go in there and win. And if she does, that shows you that her confidence is through the roof right now. Yeah, her skill sets need to be worked on. And, you know, Casey O'Neill may not be ready for top five, but the way she approaches the game right now shows you that it's not delusion. You know, she was one of the ones that said, I wanted 3 or 4 years before I fight for the title, right? You know, she was never really delusional about it. She was confident that she could get better as a fighter and climb her way to the top, but she was still being a realist at some point. You know, she was not like, oh, I'm invincible, right? You know, she was not speaking with that delusion. She said, hey, I can better myself as a fighter. I can pick up right where I left off, and that's what I want to do. You know, this fight is going to help me grow. So look at Casey O'Neill. You see the confidence in her too. You know, these young fighters like her and Blanche, where they're bringing that confidence. Then you got Chelsea Chandler, another one who's coming in, always working on, you know, the ground game, the boxing, always posting up of her, you know, working on her strength as well. She's always calling somebody out because she believes that she's ready. Even if it's a Yana Kuniskaya or, you know, a Norma Dumont, she believes in her skill sets. That's why she's calling these fighters out. She wants to put those skills to the test because she's confident she can beat them. It's not delusion here. It's somebody that knows I've put the work in and I'm ready to put it to the test and show you that I'm the better fighter, right? Now, if Chelsea Chandler just came in and just kept saying, oh, these fighters suck, I can beat them, or, oh, I can be champion next year, or I can beat Amanda Nunes right now, you know, that's delusion. Because there's no context to it. There's no evidence to what you're saying, right? It's just feelings. But if you at least tell us, I want to fight so-and-so because I know I'm ready. You know, I've been training. You know, check out my resume. Check out what we've been working on. You know, that's the fighter that's speaking with more so confidence because you know they're being a realist and they're taking their time and they're putting themselves in that position. And then, of course, you got Tyler Santos. Tyler Santos is a fighter that some of y'all are getting annoyed of because, you know, she's posting up and constantly ragging on Valentina at this point. But no, she's just a confident fighter. And why? You know, why is it not delusion? It's because she already fought the champion and almost won. She fought it to a split decision, right? So she believes and she has that confidence to say, hey, I can do this. So that's why she's going to keep calling her and calling her, because the confidence right now is riding high, not the delusion. Now, if she lost like a unanimous decision or got knocked out and continued to say, oh, man, now I was robbed. Oh, no. Like, you know, she tripped me up, or, you know, I had a bad weight cut and I could come back and beat her. That's like delusional talk. That's just like delusion. Like we'll be like, oh, man, that Val beat you fair and square. But in this fight, it was a split decision. Now, Val did take it home in rounds 4 and 5, but Tyler did something a lot of other fighters didn't do. That's why Tyler knows that she can do something that some of these other girls, she did something that some of these other girls couldn't do, and she can do something again that maybe she couldn't even do the first time. So when you think of it that way, that's all confidence. That's all confidence in Tyler Santos. She did something to boost her confidence. She did something nobody else could do, right? And that alone makes you more so sure of yourself and believe in yourself. So, yeah, I think it just comes down to, you know, taking your time, stop looking at what everybody else is doing and just focusing on you and what you can do in the gym for yourself, you know, not worried about, you know, not worried about what other people are doing, what they're saying, worrying about IG and all of that. It comes down to the work first. And then you can start to, put it out there and let people know what you can do. Right. And I believe that's what these type of fighters I got on the screen, they do. Like, there's no delusion in what they're doing. There's no delusion in what they say. It's all confidence. You know, they're speaking with confidence. Every time I hear them talk, it's like, oh, well, okay. Like, they might say something slick every now and then. Like I said with Tyler, you know, she on IG doing things, posting up posters like about Valentina fighting. I'm just like, oh, okay. This girl confident. Like, she been working. Like, she knows that she kind of got under Valentina's skin in that fight and she did something. So, you know, she going to keep calling for Val because she's confident about what she can do, right? You know, she did something. She did something for herself. Then you got Aaron, you know, She clapping back at Macy Barber. You're like, oh, okay, yeah. You know, she knows she ain't no average fighter. And also she's saying, you know, Tyler's not that dangerous an opponent. I'm like, okay, confidence is high. And that's what you want to make a good fight, right? You know, Chelsea talking, Casey O'Neill's talking. You know, Casey O'Neill's like, hey, you know, I can beat Jennifer Maya. She called her out. She called her out. So she believes in herself, right? There's no delusion there. She knows that I'm young, I'm healed up, I'm ready to go. Anything unranked or lower is just not going to get me where I need to be, right? So, yeah, anything these fighters, like I said on the screen here, anything they say, it doesn't really agitate me at this point. Well, it depends. If it ain't fight related, if they talking crazy, right? But for the most part, what they're saying when it comes down to the fight game and what they do is just it's just characteristics of a confident fighter. And we need more women like this on the rise in the division, especially for our featherweight and bantamweight, like fighters like Chelsea that are calling for whoever, you know, Twerk Girl, Eileen Perez, Norma Dumont, whoever, right? The ones that want to make that noise. So I love it. I just love that type of talk. I love what they're doing. But yeah, guys, let me know what y'all think in the comment section, like confidence versus delusion. What are some examples of confidence y'all hear from some fighters? Like, what's the delusion y'all hear? I know first thing with delusion, y'all gonna bring up Macy thinking she could be the youngest champion, right? That's one of the things. Y'all want delusion. Look at Eileen Perez's tweets right now. I mean, I know I'll be on this girl, but I mean, she's entertaining. I will say that. Eileen Perez is bringing an entertainment factor there. So that's why I keep on picking on her. But, you know, that's what it is, man. Confidence is something we always going to be talking about over here. You know, this ain't the only time we're going to do this segment. This could just be part one here, because as long as you got girls that are built for this and are developed and ready to make the statement, you know, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. All right, y'all. So I'm getting up out of here. I am done. I hope y'all enjoyed the show. Like always, make sure y'all subscribe to this channel, Combo Breaker 99. Also subscribe to the platforms here. Anywhere you listen to your podcast, any really, that's all I'm going to say. Like, wherever y'all listen to your podcast at, like, I'm sure most of y'all riding around, pull up iHeartRadio or Spotify or whatever. Well, just type in hashtag CB99 talks on the go, even if you don't have to pull up YouTube. That way you can still close out your phone and listen in the background. Cause you know, when you close your phone, you know, YouTube doesn't play, right? Unless you buy that new version, like, was it YouTube Premium, I believe. But anyways, yeah, just pull it up anywhere, like any podcast app, and y'all can hear me there. So yeah, guys, shout out to the new subscribers, everybody coming through, for y'all, you know, that are new to the show. But yeah, I'll catch y'all later this week, of course, on Wednesday for the Fight Companion. And yeah, let me know in the comment section how y'all feel about these topics. Combo Breaker 99. I'm out. Subscribe. Peace.